I saw an amazing chidush in the Parashat Shavua. Something almost. It's written, Yaakov on his deathbed, he was blessing and commanding his children how to continue to illuminate the world with the light of faith. And you can see that after that Yaakov takes his lead up on the bed and he passed away. So the next verse in chapter 50, chapter Nun, is that Yaakov, that Yosef is crying. Yosef is falling on the bed and he's crying. And the next verse it's written that the Egyptians were crying on Yaakov for 70 days. Where are the holy brothers? They're not crying. And even if they were crying, because probably they were crying, the verse is not bothering to write it down. So their crying is less important than the crying of the Egyptians. What's going on? You see from that, that's an amazing story. Mamash. Once there was a student of Rabbi Natan, after that Rabbeinu already passed away, that wanted to talk to his friend in Yirat Shamayim to talk on Rabbi Natan. Let's go and nitchazek on talking on Rabbi Natan. And he went to his friend's house. And that friend was a student of Rabbi Nachman in Breslev. The father, again, there was that student, but he was a student of Rabbi Natan. Now he's going to visit his friend, that he is the son of a student of Rabbi Nachman. Okay, simple. For me it's complex, for you it's supposed to be simple. So, he's coming and knocking on the door. The father, the student of Rabbeinu, opens the door and tells him, "You have a phone." So, he opens the door and says, "Shalom Aleichem, how are you? How can I help you? What do you need?" He said, I'm looking for your son. Your son is here." He told him, "No, I'm sorry. He's in the fields doing his bodedut. He's not here." Told him, "So, but why you came? You need something? Can I help you?" He said, "No, I came to talk to him about Rabbi Natan. We're talking usually about Rabbi Natan. Mechazkim et atzmenu, strengthening ourselves on Rabbi Natan." So he told him, "So let's talk. What's the problem? I know Rabbi Natan. I like him, appreciate him. Let's talk on Rabbi Natan." So he told him, no, chas v'shalom, you're a student of Rabbeinu. For me, you're equal to Rabbi Natan. You're yourself huge. You're a huge student. Who am I to talk to you at all? You're a student of Rabbeinu." So that student of Rabbeinu, that father, told him, "You should know that you received more from Rabbi Natan than we achieved from Rabbeinu HaKadosh himself. We were sitting in the first line and we heard Rabbeinu talking and we couldn't understand what Rabbeinu was saying. Only Rabbi Natan heard Rabbeinu. He really got what that Rabbeinu said. And now when he's explaining it to you, now you're getting closer to Rabbeinu than us." This is what exactly that happened with Yosef. Yosef was crying. The Egyptians that he is controlling on them, that this is his nation now, they're now receiving from him. They're learning from Yosef all of his wisdom. He's leading that nation. They're crying on Yaakov. They feel the closeness to Yaakov, the loss of Yaakov, more than the brothers that spent all of their life with him, with Yaakov. And they couldn't see that loss so clear and obvious. Like what did they heard all over the years from Yosef, and Yosef taught them on the greatness of his father, and I had a father, and he was telling them stories on his ancient father, legendary father, and telling on that father. I am humble, but still, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote on himself also that he was humble. I said it to Rav Shalom. I told him, "My students, they love you because that I love you. If I wouldn't love you, they wouldn't love you also. They don't know you, they cannot know you, they cannot meet you ever, and they cannot understand you at all. And if I will not gonna love you, they will not gonna love you also. This is a student. You need to look for a student like that, because this is Rav Shalom also. This is what you need to look for. You need to look for someone that have the ability to pass to you the information that is ancient, that is coming from the ancestors, that is coming from the Torah to Moshe. And it all depends in the love. We're always going to depend in the love. And if you want to be a link in that chain also, you need to work on your love to your Rebbe. You need to work on your love to me, to Rav Shalom, to whoever. It doesn't matter. To the one that you receive from him. You need to work on that. We're opening all of the cards. We know we're not hiding anymore. This is it. You want to know everything. In that, it all depends. In that, it all depends. I heard today another amazing, amazing word of Torah by Rab Shmuel Mislonim. Rab Shmuel Mislonim said, what was the proof that convinced, the argument that convinced Moshe Rabbeinu in the end of the conversation, the argument with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he really gonna take himself and gonna go to save Am Israel? What was the understanding that Moshe Rabbeinu received in his mind to go and to save Am Israel? It was that he realized from all of his arguments to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is really not worthy, that he is really not supposed to save Am Israel. He's not the worthy leader, the Manig HaRa'ui. He saw it for a week. He's explaining and explaining, and he saw all of his life open in front of him, all of his mistakes and all of his weaknesses and all of his downs and all of his chesronot. So he saw how empty he is after 7 days, because even though the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keep on answering to him, so he sees that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to go, but he cannot understand why. This is what, if he would understand from the beginning why, alright, I hear you, I got your point, he would do it, no problems. He would listen on the spot. He doesn't want to argue with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he doesn't understand, and it's Torah, and he needs to learn, so he's asking. This is why it's written, Ena Baishan Lamed, a shy person cannot learn. If you're not asking what that you don't see, how are you going to see? Who's going to teach you? You think Harav going to come and knock on your door and going to tell you, hey, I wanted to teach you? I'm not holding in that level of Rabbi Chaim Vital, that Ariel Kadosh is chasing after him and tell him, listen, you have to learn, you have to learn, you have to learn. And so, in that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu, after a whole week, realized that he is for sure the lowest person of all of Am Israel. And he said, so if now really I'm going to be the savior of Am Israel and they're going to see that Hashem brought me so close to him, from that for sure they're going to understand that they all can do tshuva also and get closer to Hashem. If they're going to see that Hashem took me, chose me to lead Am Israel, it's going to be obvious for them that they can succeed, that they can go up and out from all of their distress and all of their fears and all of their sadnesses and bad attributes, 49 gates of contamination. By seeing me that I'm so low. This is the greatness of the tzaddik, that he is not falling from his lackings. Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. Every righteous man is falling 7 times. David HaMelech said 7 times minimum. 7 times minimum. It not depends in if you're falling or not falling. It depends in how much you're strengthening yourself to stand up back on your legs and not to give up and to start again and to reborn and to make a new start and to refresh yourself and to say, I don't care, and Hashem is more mercy than I can imagine, and for sure He is waiting for me, and no matter what. And in that it depends what you're going to achieve in the end. What you're going to achieve. And like we talked yesterday, Bimina, Orech Chaim Bimina, there is life in the right side of the Torah. Long life, beautiful life, spiritual life in the right side of the Torah. If you're righteous, let's say the Torah is in the center, and now you're right, you're on the right side, so you have long life, spiritual life. All of your days are full with Torah, full with Itbodedut, full with deep, deep purifications, and you're growing and developing. This is when you're right. This is when you're on the right side of the Torah. You're on the horse. You're running. But if you're on the left, bismola, osher v'chavod, wealth and honor. Also on the left side. What is that left side? Hashem gave me a chidush today in the Itbodedut. It's good for you if I'm doing Itbodedut in the morning. It's very good. It's very good. So, Hashem gave me a chidush in English, Baruch Hashem. Something amazing, mamash. You can see Ruach HaKodesh inside of English words. On the left side, what a person feels when he's falling from the Torah to the left. He feels Hashem left me. Left. He feels on the left. He feels that Hashem left him. That he's in the left of the Torah. So there is right, the Torah, left, you. Right? This is what you feel? That the Torah left you? This is where you're at? This is what that you feel? That you're on the left side? That the Torah left you? It's not true. Why? Because bismola osher v'chavod. Because in the real left side of the Torah, when the Torah left you, the truth, mamash, you're not on the horse. You fell from the back of the horse. You're on the ground. You're on the left side. Let's say Hashem left you, and everything you feel, you're in a place of osher v'chavod, wealth and honor. Because if really you're going to look at yourself, like the Rabbeinu taught us, that afilu rekanim shebach, the most emptiest persons of Am Yisrael, mele'im mitzvot karimon, full with mitzvot like a pomegranate. Minimum 613 mitzvot you have inside of you. This is the minimum that a Jew have. And if you're going to say, I'm not a Jew, if a person is going to say, but I'm not one of that holy nation, I want to be, but I didn't have that merit to become to be a Jew, so what will I do? On that you need to know. On all of the blessings that a person, that a Jew, is commanded to bless, the blessings of praising Hashem Yitbarach, Birkot HaShevach, Birkot HaHoda'a, on thanks and praises, all of the blessings of the food, all of the blessings of Shmona Esre, Tfilat Shmona Esre. All of those blessings, even a non-Jew allow to bless. Only the blessings on the mitzvot, asher kideshanu b'mitzvotah v'tzivanu, to put filin, to put tzitzit, because you were not commanded to wrap yourself with talit, with tzitzit, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to get closer to Hashem Yitbarach. But and to keep those mitzvot, if you're going to see a goy that wraps himself with a talit, there is nothing bad in it. If you really appreciate the talit, there is nothing bad in it. He allows to do it, but he's not commanded to do that. But it doesn't mean that it's not allowed. There is one thing that is not allowed: to keep a complete Shabbos, a complete 100% of the Shabbos. You have to violate Shabbos in a certain way. But it doesn't mean that he's not allowed to keep all of the rest of the Shabbos. That he's not allowed to be close. And Adrabah, when you violate Shabbos in a certain moment, for sure that if you do it from your heart, the holiness and purity that comes down on you from your humility, that you're standing in that moment and you realize, I'm not from Am Yisrael yet. That humility is purifying you in a way that no Jew can have. No Jew can feel that feeling. To be so far, so low. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Eshkon Nedaka, I'm going to be with the lowest people, with the people that are depressed, with the people that are down, with the people that are far. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a merciful Father. He sees your sorrow and He's coming down to be with you. He doesn't care. Like that Zohar that we explained a few times, there is a prayer to David, a prayer to Moshe, and a prayer to a poor person. And when that prayer to a poor person is coming, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to David, move to the side. To Moshe, move to the side. I don't want to hear you now. I want to be alone with that poor person. And the Gemara is saying, En ani ela min adat. The poverty, it's from knowledge. It's from wisdom. It's from holiness. The aniyut is lack of faith. So a person that is He's not holding in the level of faith. He's not a strong believer. He's asking Hashem Yitbarach, where are you? I am Mekom Kvodo La'aretzo. Where are you, Hashem? Where are you? Where are you, Hashem? I cannot see you. I cannot see you in my parnasa, in money matters. I cannot see you in my peace in the house. I cannot see your private supervision in educating my children. I cannot see you.
I have a mess in my house. I have a balagan. I don't know what to do. What's going on? Where are you, Hashem? That question is not coming from the mouth of a believer. It's coming from a crushed person. From a broken vessel. A cry, a tear that is coming from a broken heart of a seeker, of a person that wants the truth, that he knows that there is Hashem somewhere in that darkness, in the Colombia darkness. He's looking for Hashem. And so he's got a point of truth, but this is what that he's got. He doesn't got the Torah. He doesn't got the dot of the Torah. He doesn't have feeling shebarosh, that feeling that's in the head. He doesn't have all of that at all. He doesn't see Hashem. And he asks, where are you, Hashem? Where is this place to admire him? You're telling me that he's all good, that I need to admire him, that I need to worship him. Where is he? Where was he in the Holocaust? Where was he in Girush Sfarad? Where was he last week when my wife left the house and took the children? Where was he then? What's going on? That question Rabbeinu is bringing in the 12th Torah, in the second part of Likutei Moharan. When a person is asking, where? Ayeh. In that moment, that word ayeh become to be ayeh haseh le'ola. It's that ram, that offering of Avraham Avinu instead of Yitzchak, to replace Yitzchak, to be sacrificed to Hashem Yitzchak. That question of a son that is about to be slaughtered, that he knows, he sees death in front of his eyes. He died for 3 years. He was lying like that. He was in heaven. Yitzchak Avinu. They're asking on Yitzchak, how when Yaakov Avinu came to Yitzchak, he told him, you have the smell of heaven. He told him, you have the smell of heaven. Where Yitzchak knows what the smell of heaven? Where he smelled heaven? So they're answering on that question. In the time that Abraham came to slaughter him, it's written that Abraham was walking with Yitzchak to the mountain, to Har Abayit, to Even Ashtia. But when he came back alone. He came back to the Nearim, to Ishmael and to Eliezer, his slave. He came to them back alone. Yitzchak stayed over there. Yitzchak stayed over there. And this is what also that the devil showed Sarai Menu, that Yitzchak died. Because really he died, but he died out of fear. It calls Pachad Yitzchak. The fear of Yitzchak. He had such fear, and the knife was mamash on his neck. He died. He sacrificed himself already. He went up. So that fear of a young kid, a person that walks to be slaughtered, he wants to do it. He's saying to his father, I want to do it, but who can stop himself from being afraid? David HaMelech, that is the strongest person in our nation, all of his life he lived in fear. He knows what to do with the fear. He's transferring it to be prayers. Instead of crying and whining and hiding, he's screaming to Hashem from the depths, from the darkness, from the lowest places. He realized what he needs to do with all of his urge, with all of his stress, with all of his fears, anxieties. He's just making them to be words, and he's screaming to Hashem, Hashem, I'm afraid. Hashem, everyone are chasing after me. Everyone wants to kill me. Hashem, what's going on? Hashem. It's not a lie. It's reality. This is what the Hashem Utbarach was doing with David HaMelech. When you're standing in any narrow place, in under any stress, any kind of fear, and you don't know what to do, and you just ask Hashem, where are you? In that moment, you sacrifice, a huge sacrifice to Hashem Yitbarach. You become to be so close to Hashem Yitbarach that you can see Hashem. You can see Hashem. You can see Hashem. Eretz Yisrael, this is the land of miracles. Only in Eretz Israel you can see Hashem. It's outside of Eretz Israel, you cannot see Hashem. You cannot see Hashem. You cannot. You just hear about it from the legends, in stories, in the Bible. People are talking. There was Avraham Avinu. Until you stand up in Hebron, in front of the grave of Avraham Avinu, and you stand up in that holy cave of Marat HaMachpelah, and you realize it's here. It's alive, it exists. And you stand in the Kotel, everyone are crying in the Kotel. Non-Jews are crying in the Kotel. They see the temple, you can see the Beit HaMikdash is here. You can see the place, you can see everything. You go to graves, Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Suddenly you realize, it's here. I'm walking in the same streets that our ancestors were walking in. Here it's Jerusalem. Here in this place they were sacrificing, they were making all of those amazing parties and feasts in the holy days, and everyone were hosting each other, and they were here eating from the Maser Sheni, and the Kohanim were taking the Truma. Here it's Har HaBayit. It doesn't take 10 minutes from here to walk to the Kotel HaMaravi. It's under your nose. When you come to Eretz Israel, you see Hashem. Eretz Asher Enei Hashem Elokecha Ba Mireshit Hashana Ad Achrit Shana. From the beginning of the year until the end of the year, the eyes of Hashem Yitbarach are looking at Eretz Israel. And what is the eyes? It's the supervision. The private supervision here is a lot stronger than over there. Here you can see miracles. Here you stand, you pray, you've been answered on the spot. How many times, how many stories I told you, and I don't need to tell you. You have stories of your own. It's true. You're not filming them. You're not uploading them to the Emunah channel, unfortunately. And you're supposed to. And I'm going to thank you on that. And I'm going to appreciate you on doing that. Because people need you. And you're sleeping on your noses. But everyone that is doing it but the truth, he sees miracles. There is no doubt about it. Because Hashem is close to everyone that is calling him with truth. So if you once called Hashem Yitbarach, you saw you've been answered. You want me now to interview you? That you're going to tell your miracles? You want now that I'm going to interview you? Now to interview you? Each and every one of you? How many stories? I see your faces. I remember your stories. Everyone. Everyone can write books from his Yitbodeduyot. From the Yitbodeduyot, you can write books immediately on the spot. Today I was praying upon the Sahara and this and that. And every day. Today I was talking about this and someone called me. And today I was... Those are small miracles for you. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you were all lost in darkness. You couldn't think about things and the opposite would happen to you in your life. And nothing would go like you want and wish. And other but the opposite was happening to you. And from one trouble to the other, and from one lacking to the next, and trying to lefatzot et atzmecha, to compensate yourself on your sadnesses and on your downs by pushing yourself to a lower place and lower, lower, and the Yetzer Hara is laughing and enjoying. Mamash, it's a party. I don't need to do nothing. He's just taking himself lower and lower and lower. Yetzer Hara doesn't need to do nothing. This is it. He just pushed you already from the cliff and just bang another rock and another stone. And this is it. And suddenly, Rabbeinu just took you out. A certain righteous man just took you out. Like a black hair, the Gemara is saying, like a black hair from a cup of milk. You don't have no leftovers of milk on that black hair. And just took you and put you in Yeshiva, put you in Eretz Israel, put you in a certain holy place. It doesn't have to be. It can be that you're still in the process, but you're in a total different place. You can talk to Hashem on your issue. You have Hashem. Hashem is here. Something else. Before of Tshuva, Hashem wasn't there. People would talk to me on Hashem Yitbarach, and it was hilarious. It was funny. I would make a lot of jokes out of them. It was a very funny evening for me. It was a very funny evening. It was mamash very amazing. It was so hilarious. I wouldn't take it seriously in the world, no matter what they're going to say. Proofs, miracles, you don't know. The Baba Sali, the Rabbi Milubavitch, Rabbi Nachman Breslev. Crazy. Kukum, Shugayim. Who hears you? The club is open in 2 hours. Need to buy something for the way. Need to do this, need to do that. Women and money and honor and drugs and alcohol. And who's got time to think on all of your nonsense? What are you talking about? Crazy. Yom Kippur. Fast. You don't like to eat. So don't eat. Who can hear you? Who can hear you? When you're far, you don't hear. Why? You're far. You don't hear. You can scream and you don't hear. Why? Because he's far. But the tzaddik, he doesn't care about himself. and he's going out from his house, and he's knocking on doors, and he's talking to people, and he's driving to United States, and going to England, and to France, and to Germany, and he's giving classes, and he's talking to everyone, and to everyone he's talking to him in his language, in the way that he can understand him, and he's dressing himself, and covering himself in whatever you need to, any costume, he doesn't care. For sure he would prefer to be like David HaMelech, that says, like the David HaMelech is saying, I wish to be in Beit HaMikdash all day long and to enjoy the pleasant of Hashem. I wish to, but don't have that privilege. It's not my job. It's not your job. It's not our job. If it would be our job to be a Jewish Talmid Chachamim, today I talked to a real Talmid Chacham. I told him, we need to open our own yeshiva. He told me, why you need all of that suffering? Why you need that? Sit and learn. Enjoy life. You can sit. You can learn quietly. Told him, it sounds nice, but it's not me, and I'm not going to do it. I need to open a new place. I need to bring thousands of Jews to Israel. This is my job. I'm sorry. I cannot rest. It's not my job to rest. After 20 minutes, while I was in the Itbodedut, he called me. So I told him, like every Breslever, I have to answer some phones. I told him, and he tells me, I just wanted to tell you that I made tshuva on the fact that I told you not to open a yeshiva. It wasn't a word of truth. And I remember that 2 years ago I already told you that you need to open a place on your own. I told him, And kept doing Ma'at Bodedut. When we finished talking before, to half an hour before, so he told me, all right, we'll talk about it. I said to myself, he heard me, I said, I'll talk to Hashem about it. This is us. What? We'll talk. What do we have to talk? You want something in your life? Let's talk about it. I need to talk. Friends are calling me, why are you not telling me? What's going on? Why you don't tell me? Why are you not letting me know? I'm telling Hashem, here, you call. You have something to offer? You want to help? You want to put a, give a hand? Give a hand. I didn't to call people. I'm never going to call people. It's not our way. It's not the way of truth. Way of truth, you need to call Hashem. We call Hashem. You need to call Hashem. Call El Hashem. I'm calling to Hashem. Also, it's free. It's a lot cheaper. Crazy. Crazy. It's crazy. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בתוך אמן. We are in Torah למד זין ליקוט של מוהר"ן. וזה שאמרו פרט וב, וזה שאמרו חכמנו זיכרונם לברכה, and this is what that חכמנו said to us, the wise people of our nation said to us in the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, Ochle ami achlu lechem, Adonai lo karau. The one that eats my nation, when they ate bread, they were not calling Hashem. So, Rav Amar, Rav said, on who we're talking, that when he's eating, he's not blessing Hashem, and he eats my nation, he eats my people. Who are those? Rav Amar, Rav said, Elu hadayanim, those are the judges. The judges that are not setting the verdict straight according to the rules of the halacha. They're tilting the trial for money, for betza kesef. They want money. So they're twisting so much. Not only the trial itself they're twisting. They're twisting all of the bounty of Am Yisrael. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel said, Elu melamde tinokot. Those are rabbis, teachers in schools that are not teaching like they should. They're there for the money also. They're not there for the education of the children. Mar amar chada, umar amar chada, velo plige. One said that opinion, and one said that opinion, the judges and the rabbis, but they're not arguing. It's the same, actually it's the same opinion. Rabban is explaining why. Rav Amar Elu Dayanin. Rav said those are the judges. Hainu, Riv, Din, those letters that we talked before. Dayanin, that
argument of judgment. Sheina ma'alin et ha-nefesh bebchinat mai nukvin, that they're not rising, uplifting the souls in the aspect of feminine water. Sheein osin meriv din adni, that they're not making from all of the situations that are coming to them the name of Hashem Yitbarach. In court, when it's happened, they don't judge by the rules of the Torah Kedosha. In their own lives, it's exactly like that example that I just gave you, to say that you need to transfer all of what that you go through in your life to be faith, to be Hashem, to become prayers. They're not doing it. They have a situation, someone hurt them, so now they're offended. This is it, they're hurt. They're taking that person on their back, inside of their hearts, and they're all hurt, and they cannot forgive, and they cannot forget. So they're not lifting that situation back to Hashem. All of that accident, all of that situation, it was all Hashem. When you see that it's all Hashem, no bother, you don't suffer anymore, you don't care anymore. No grudge, no anger, no frustration. You can love your enemy. You have mercy on him. You're sorry for him that he's the one that's been chosen to fight with you. You have real rachmanot, like Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the enemies of Am Yisrael, like Kadosh Baruch Hu, feel sorrow that they're drowning now in the sea. The Egyptians are drowning. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, don't praise me now. It's not the time to sing. My creations, they're going down. They're drowning. They're suffering. Cannot hear praises in that moment. Your enemy, b'nfol oivecha al tismach, when your enemies are falling, don't be happy. Cannot be happy. If you're a man of truth, you're never happy when you see a person suffer. Even if it's the worst one of them all, you cannot. And also, that the worst punishment, even if you want to see revenge, because the Torah is praising the revenge. Kel nekamot Hashem. Hashem is a God of revenge. So which revenge it's going to be? How you can revenge the Nazis, that the main ones that already made the war, they all died already. So what, now you're going to kill their children? That's going to be a revenge. It's stupid. It's not a revenge at all. It's not going to bring no use. And also, if you're going to kill them, well, someone going to be happy? Us, the Jews, we're going to be happy to see 10 million grandchildren of Nazis now being slaughtered. It's going to make us happy? You know any kind of a Jew that wants to see a horrifying sight like that? We don't want to see it happen. We don't want that. What we want them to understand that they were wrong. This is what it is. We want them to do tshuva. They're going to scratch the skin from their own faces when they're going to realize what they done to us. This is what that we want, that they're going to understand that they killed innocent babies, innocent people, slaves of Hashem, servants of Hashem. So the biggest revenge, it's the shame, it's the disgrace, and it's written that this is the worst punishment in heaven, that a person sees his mistakes, his shame, and that is the worst of them all. To see I was wrong, that person was righteous, I was torturing him for no reason. I was rebuking him and cursing him and fighting with him and making him so sorry for free, for no reason. That is the punishment. This is our punishment. Every Baal Teshuva, like we said, the one that wants to purify himself, they tell him, just wait. So in that time of expectation to be pure, you think about your life, you have time. In the waiting room, you have time to think on all of your life, on all of your childhood, to do another tshuva, and another confession, another vidui. And by that, you're purifying. This is the tshuva. You see the shame. But like we said before, on the righteous people, not to fall from that. Okay, you were a sinner, you made horrible things. Alright, so what? Don't fall from that to despair. Despair is not exist. Always there is hope. Because hope depends in the mercy of Hashem. So of course there is always hope. Because Hashem he's got 13 midot of mercy on his back. So in front, of course, a lot more.
endless mercy, endless mercy. The 13 midot are already endless. So in front, cannot understand that all the love and the kindness and the love of the Creator. So Rabbeinu is saying it's also a hint to the non-worthy ritual slaughterers that are mekalkelim, ruin the judgment, sainu rivdin, l'shochatim she'ena meuganim. To those final letters, mansepach, hadamim, the blood, shehem hanefashot, that those are the spirits, hem chamesh otiyot, they are five letters, keneged chamisha damim kayadua. According to five kinds of blood, it's a known thing. Rabbeinu and his friends, they knew it, that there are five kinds of blood. Remez lechamesh bechinot sheyesh lanefesh, hinting us on five aspects that the soul, that the spirit of the person have. Kemo shamru chazal, like the Rabbeinu told us, hane chamisha barchi nafshi, those five aspects of blessings of the spirit, according to who, to what? Over there, it's written on five situations that a person can bless Hashem. David HaMelech is bringing that in Tehillim. So you see that the soul, the spirit, been blessed in five ways. Okay, thank you. Be good.